This is Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions with Gerald Yao-Yi, Oscar Panifex, Liam Fogarty, and Ryan Cook.
Welcome to another episode of Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions. I am your host, Ryan Cook. Another cracking weekend of rugby league has come and gone. The Cowboys are 3-0 for the first time since 2007. The Dogs and the Knights got their first taste of victory, and about three quarters of the competition is currently out with an injury. How good? Joining me, fresh from his last taste of freedom, he's had a big weekend celebrating his Bucks. It's rugby league writer's own Oscar Panifex.
Yeah, shout out to the KO Mini this weekend. Is the real MVP of my Bucks weekend. But yes, I'm here, I'm alive, I'm well. I saw nothing of the Rabbitohs game. Pretty sure they had a bye. So yeah, looking forward to talking about some footy today.
He's not sharing any details. He's keeping it quiet.
Oh, yeah. Maybe off air I'll share a story. We don't have time for two story times this week.
Exactly. Next, well, look, he feels like pure shit. Just wants Reece Walsh back. Oh. He also tells me he's got over 200 friends. It's Liam Fogarty.
Yeah. I had to pay for them all, though. I'm only allowed to go to one party a week now.
How much are you paying?
Oh, I don't want to talk about it. But I was a wild man in the pool trying to splash water in people's mouths, and I'm not welcome back.
He can't be trusted. And, of course, the man that brings some country twang to the podcast.
Yeah.
West Arana Panthers' finest coach, Gerald Yao-Yi.
Yeah, they haven't had one for 3 years, so I should be the finest at the moment. It's good to be back, boys. Got a bit of rugby league in over the weekend and happy to go into a bit of a holiday here for Easter. Jeez, need a little bit of a break.
Feeling a bit down, mate.
No, not down. Just very busy with work, everything that's going on. So, you know, with two kids locked up, you guys don't know anything about that.
Soon, mate.
You know, I'm a father. I'm a father with two, possibly more, not sure. So, you know, they could be out there. They could be out there. Love you, Dale.
On that note, boys, what do we take away from the weekend?
I took a few things away. Hopefully none of them contractable. I've got a bit of an unpopular opinion.
Here we go.
I've come up with. I wrote about it in the Ned's blog, which we'll touch on a little bit more later, but picking out this one in particular, is that Warriors' block shape on their right edge where they tuck in Adam Fanua-Blake in behind Kurt Capewell. Is that the most repeatable and reliable avenue to the NRL try line right now?
I see. It looks like that one kid you used to play juniors against that was just far too big for the age group, and he just runs through them every time.
Could be.
I wrote in the blog, like, South Sydney, obviously, their left edge isn't what it has been in recent years, but that's been, one of the richest, you know, sources of points in the NRL for a long time now. I don't know how teams defend that Warriors shape. If you go back and watch the tape, they get a quick, they get a penalty 30 or 40 metres out, and you can just see SJ, Torhu Harris, and Adam Fanua-Blake cook it up immediately. They're pointing to the spots. You can see Johnson mouth the word Ethan Strange, like Strange, outside shoulder. They're trying to get at young Ethan Strange there on the Raiders' left edge. And Adam, he scored that, I think, twice this year.
And a few times.
And a few times last year.
I think the way, look, it's hard to explain how to defend that. And because when you've got a team that gels like that so well, you've got to have timing from Sean Johnson. You've got to have timing from Adam Fanua-Blake. You've got to be right spacing apart. It's got to be, there's got to be the perfect scenario for every time they do it. And when they execute properly, it is very hard to defend and undefendable at the moment. So they're obviously going to go there again and again and again. And when it doesn't work, it still puts the defense under, attention every single time. So, if they keep just doing that throughout the year, they're going to have plenty of success.
And he's going to start picking up different options in that shape too. Like Kurt Capewell's running a really good lead line there. Is he hitting Kurt short? Is he hitting Adam? They've got Roger Tuivasa-Sheck out the back this week. Are they throwing wide to him? Is it a lofted pass over the top? Like really, in the situation in round three, the Raiders centre and winger both needed to jam and basically leave two men on their outside.
Yeah.
The centre needed to hit on Adam. The winger needed to hit on the fullback. They needed to leave a centre and a winger outside them. So there's so much space and so many options there for Sean to take. And like you said, Torhu, one of the best ball players through the middle in the comp. And then they get Wade Egan back soon as well, which we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. there's just, yeah, it's perfectly designed for the players they've got there, and I would hate to have to defend that as a left three man.
What would you think Newcastle's strategy would be going into Sunday's game?
You've got to pressure them hard from the inside. I think you can't let Tohu and Sean Johnson get over the ad line. As soon as they do that and they're allowed to straighten up, even if it's just one or two steps direct towards the try line before they're passing, that's what's folding the defensive line in towards the ball and putting those outside.
And it probably starts at the ruck first. Like, if you can slow the play the ball down enough to get ready to get that line speed. But when you've got players damaging the line like their backs do, you know, they're getting quick plays all over the park. So it's really tough to defend, and they've done it well.
It's surprising that none of us have taken AFB in any of our multis so far, because he's almost guaranteed to find the try line.
Could be one of the best forwards anytime try scorer bets of all time.
Easily,
like,
yeah.
Well, he was $3.70 when I checked this morning. And really? I thought about it, but yeah, like, the value's just plummeted in him.
One of the great first try scorers as well, just quietly. Mm, yeah. He's already hit this year at 51, I think, and I think he was probably 34 last week. Yep. So
that's why we call you the numbers man, Fogs.
You do call me that.
Yeah, I do.
All the time.
Let's go back to last round, Fogs. You have a hot take on Reece Walsh that you've detailed at length on the Neds blog.
Yeah, I unloaded on him, and I don't think I'm welcome in Western Sydney after what I said. Look,
you wouldn't survive down there.
Certainly would not. No chance at all. I was under the impression that Taylan May was purely coming out of that line to hit Walsh to take him out of the game. It was blatant. I ran in with no regard for his health or Walshy's. I think if they drew it up, they're going to take him out of the game early. Walshy clearly saw it coming and tipped on the ball. I reckon if he holds it, it's hit of the year and they don't actually get injured. But I think, May was just out there to be the hitman. Yeah. Take him out.
You can't leave the ground when you're going into those tackles. He has to have some kind of, I know, and we've got to move on from this because it's going to keep going, but there's going to be, after this now, there's going to be a lot of suspensions because it's a, you know, duty of care for players. But he has to try and wrap at least. Yep. He's not trying to wrap.
Just pretend.
He's not trying to wrap his arms. He's gone too fast, and Reece is coming too fast for him to make the decision. The ball carrier is the one that's got to be, you know, taken into account and looked after here. And the fact that he's getting no weeks for this.
Ridiculous.
I find that really hard to believe.
But the NRL's also used it as an opportunity to give a warning.
But it doesn't make sense, because if you're going to give a warning, he should have got
100%.
Like, at least 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way in the world. You can't tackle with your head.
No.
If this was a fronty on a back,
well,
suspension.
Look at the most recent example.
Suspension. So,
A lot of people have said it's accidental. The head clash was accidental, but that's because he's come in and just tried to hit him.
It doesn't matter.
Week.
It doesn't matter. You still can't. Even if you're trying to tuck your, both people are tucking heads and you tackle that way, someone's going to get in trouble for it, and it's got to be the defender.
So do you think May came in with the shoulder at all? Like, I've heard some people saying he did throw a bit of a shoulder.
No, I thought he was really front on. I actually thought he was more body than anything.
Yep.
And that's fine, because, you know, you're taught to defend sometimes, you know, body in front. But when you're coming into that pace, you're not making the right decisions. The way he should have tackled that is he should have put his head to the left and put his shoulder in and hit him down low. He shouldn't have been trying to hit him up high at all. So, yeah, it's a shit one, because we lose Reece for 4 weeks, you know, and he gets nothing.
And that's two weeks in a row Penrith has done that as well.
Yeah. And then there's another thing in the Penrith game as well that there's a lot of hype about. And I'm not sold on this one, where there's people, you know, blowing up about it, but Mitch Kenny situation, how everyone thinks that he's running the blocks. I actually don't think he's running the blocks. I actually don't think he's very good at passing off the ground. I've watched him play.
Get wrecked, Mitch.
I think actually that's just the way he's passing the ball, and he's, you know, we're taught as kids to your hands to leave where you're going. He's pushing the ball, and he's sort of just going to where he's got to get to next, where the next play is. So, as much as, you know, I'm a Broncos fan, I'm also a rugby league fan. If we're taking that out of the game, there's going to be a lot of hookers in trouble.
I thought you were talking about the double movement that he did.
Oh, yeah.
That was real. We should have only lost by 20. That was bullshit.
No, I just think the Mitch Kenny thing needs to be put to bed. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. There's people trying to make something out of it because there's no blockers anymore. And you know what? If they are doing it and they're getting away with that way, we're always there's teams always trying to look for something, right? Crazy. I actually think it's genius if he is doing it. So
well, he's selling it well.
Yeah, he's selling it very well. But I don't think he's doing it. But that's sort of my hot take.
That's your unpopular opinion. That's definitely a hot take.
It is. Yeah.
That's hard to argue against. Mine from the week just gone is a big win for the NRL boys. I don't know if you've seen over in America, the NFL has put a ban on hip drop tackles.
No way.
So I think the NFL's been closely watching the NRL, and there's actually been articles written in the States over the last couple of days about copying rugby league.
What?
So this is a huge win.
You know what? That's awesome. We're 61,000 that watched over there. They're actually finally
listening. We're trailblazers.
We're trailblazers.
This is the Valandy's effect, boys.
He's going to be happy with that. When we come back, we're going to get into some betting with Fogs and Oscar.
All the betting trends from around the comp. This is The Offload.
Segment where you learn and sometimes earn. Oscar, your colleague over at Rugby League Writers, Jason Oliver, wrote a pretty solid piece on Monday detailing round three and everything he took away from it.
Yep.
Really dove into the depths of Lachlan Galvin's game last week for the Tigers. Really good read. Check it out, listeners.
Thank you, mate.
Like every week, you've gone into depth yourself on the Neds blog. Up now, you can find Oscar's article titled Practice Makes Perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had a look at four players and their scoring actions from round three and what we can expect to see from them, or if we can expect to see that action again as the season unfolds. First cab off the rank, Junior Paolo, quietly been a pretty big part of Parramatta's attack.
Yeah.
Set up Mitch Moses really nicely on the weekend. Talk us through it.
Yeah, well, it looks like eyes up footy, a big man getting an offload away, but he's had way too many try assists like that for it to be a fluke. Josh Hodgson and Reid Marnie used to play to him a lot when they were a dummy half down there at Parramatta. And now in round three, it was Jermaine Hopgood taking the ball into the line, isolating Big Junior onto a smaller body, which isn't hard to find on a rugby league field. Every single body's smaller than Junior's. And yeah, just his skill, catches, spins, he's bracing his body as he pushes into the tackle.
So soft, hey?
Well, like, that was the best thing about it. He tried to catch, spin and pass straight away, saw Brooksy shooting out of the line. Mm. So he's tucked it in his right hand, swapped it to his left, and then, yeah, soft little pop-up to Mitch.
Talk about like, you know, a kid growing up and not being able to handle them. That's what he looked like on the weekend.
Yeah, well said.
It always looks so effortless, too. It's just
That was a soft. That's what I mean. He's got very soft hands for a big boy, and he's been doing it for a long time now, and they're sort of, you know, the last couple of years, he's gotten really, really good at it.
The Dragons did plenty wrong last week, but Zach Lomax was arguably best on ground for St. George. Talk us through what you saw from him.
Yeah, that double fullback or that roaming outside back role, we've seen Tommy Turbo, Joseph Manu does it a bit, Toletau Kula does it down at Manly. But yeah, Zach, we've seen it. He did it a few times last year. I don't think he ever got the ball, but he was just kind of drifting infield, trying to just give a different look, I guess, to the defence. But yeah, he scored one off a really nice Ben Hunt grubber on the weekend. Scott Drinkwater was caught out of position. But even if the fullback's there chasing, it's up to Hunt in that situation. He can either kick out towards the corner for his back rower, or if the fullback is chasing hard, Lomax is there on the inside. You can kick back in behind a chasing fullback. So, yeah, really nice shape from the Dragons. They're finding different ways to use Zach out there in that wing position.
And lastly, look, you've already spoken about the Wires, so we won't get too much into that. The other name on your list there was Val Holmes.
Yeah, we call it the Thunder shape down at the mighty UQ Hounds. I think
Thunder.
That might have been
a bit of lightning
from the Broncos days. But, the Cows are looking good, I think. I think they're working their way into this season nicer. They're 3-0, obviously.
They've scored some points at the moment.
Yeah, that's right. They've versed some pretty easy opposition, but when they charged into the finals 2 years ago, it was gritty defence and expansive attack. And I think we're seeing a lot of that attacking footy back this year. Two long, wide passes out to the left. I really like what Sam McIntyre is doing at the Cows this year, giving them a genuine ball-playing option. And then, Drinky pulling Ben Hunt, I think it was, out of the line and dropping Val back underneath at the last second.
Pulling Ben Hunt somewhere else.
Settle down.
You didn't see that one.
It's not story time.
I think that's a perfect shape for a guy like Val. Strong, fast, good line runner. We've seen them play that shape before, and I think we'll see it again.
Just on the Cows, I feel like we haven't really spoken about them much on this show. They're undefeated. There's been some talks about their effort levels, particularly last week, their kicking pressure and stuff.
You've been watching the Matty Johns podcast.
I was listening, and he made some really good points.
He did.
So are we all on board with them as a contender? Or
no, I'm not sold. I'm not sold yet. I think they're a great side, and they've obviously building over the last couple of years. A lot of injuries last year. The year before, they had a cracker of a year. Yep. But you can't let that many points in, I think, in the first three rounds as well, which they have. Yes, I believe. Yeah, they've let in some points, yeah. Especially, last week. You're not going to get away with that stuff all year. Mm. So, as Oscar said, if they go back to that nitty gritty defense and the way they play that type of footy, and the attack can take care of itself, I think they'll be fine. But I'm not sold on them yet.
They're yet to be tested as well. They haven't played some massive teams yet. And I think they've got Penrith in round 7. And I think the next few rounds are against bottom 8 teams as well. So we're probably yet to see them fully tested against a big
but
dog
you have
team.
To get a good start of the year. Like in this competition, mm-hmm. we've seen previously in the past that teams that do get off to a great start are there and thereabouts at the end of the year. So, if they've won 8 out of their first 7 out of their first 10, that's successful in this competition. So they're on the right track to being there at the end of the year.
Does seem like the glass is half full at North Queensland. Fogs, what stands out to you heading into round 4?
Yeah, I've had a look at the team list this week, and I was keen to have a chat to Oscar about a few of the games. We'll start with the Roosters and Panthers on Thursday. Obviously, Cleary is out, and I think the market's reacted a little bit. Penrith is $2.45 to win that. Do you reckon that's an overreaction?
It's a long time since we've seen Penny Panthers paying $2.
And even when he has been out, they've still come up with the goods.
I don't know if it's an overreact. I think you got to remember Fisher Harris and Sorensen are out as well. And given the way that the Chooks are playing right now, like really fast, really direct, Brandon Smith's running a lot out of dummy half. They got guys like Connor Watson and Victor Radley and Teddy back to his best, pushing through the middle. I think just the way that the Chooks are playing, it lends themselves to getting the better of a weakened Penrith forward pack.
Yep.
Just with the amount of work that Fish in particular does through the middle. And then just looking at the bench as well, Roos's bench, Connor Watson, Nafua White, Egan Butcher and Angus Crichton versus Dane Laurie, Eisenhuth, Liam Henry and Maverick Geyer. Shout out to Mav, who gets his NRL debut this week. The Penrith game plan is grind, possession and field position, and without their kicking without Cleary's kicking game and without two of their big key contributors in the pack, I'm probably leaning towards the Chookies in that one.
Yeah, I think the either team by less than 10.5 is the market that I'm looking to at that game. I think it's about $1.85. Rabbitohs v Bulldogs on Good Friday with Jared Sutton reffing. What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. I don't want to...
God.
Take it over, son.
I know you,
Fox. Tell us.
Well, I mean, go back and watch the 2015 highlights if you aren't sure what I'm talking about. Are the Dogs a bit of value at 265, Oscar? Or, they obviously got a big win last week.
Yep.
Were they just flat track bullies against the Titans, or are they going to run the numbers up against the Chookies? Oh, not the Rabbits, rather.
I thought this would be $1.90 each, eh?
Yeah.
This one. Yeah. I'm not going to be betting on the Bulldogs, obviously. But yeah, if you're a Doggies fan, I think there's really good value in that head-to-head. I wouldn't bother about the line. I think if it's a grind, if it's a close game, I'm probably leaning towards Canterbury just from the way that they've played. Like, Souths haven't been able to absorb any pressure over the first 3 weeks. So if it's a close, grindy game, I'm probably leaning towards, take the value.
Has there been any changes again with... I haven't looked at the Rabbitohs.
Yeah, way too many changes. Tom Burgess starting. Sevilla, Havili's been dropped. Kepi's been dropped. Cheek Ham's on the bench.
Cookie's back.
Yeah. Cookie's back.
I think if Souths, if something happens, I think there's certainly a world where Souths turn it on, and I think they could end up blowing the Doggies out here, but... I won't be betting on it.
I think if the Dogs beat anyone other than Gold Coast last week, the odds are probably closer to even money. That's probably true. Why people are saying, oh, can you believe in that? Fogs, Good Friday, Bronx Cows.
Yeah, biggest game of the weekend in my eyes. Look, Reno's back. Bronx still have no Haas, Walsh or Piakura. Cows obviously top of the table. Is $1.85 value for the Cows here, given what we've seen?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm probably with Jarrell. I'm not sold on the Cowboys just yet. That's what I was saying about Brisbane last week. I saw more in Broncos' loss against Penrith than I've seen in their first two wins.
Yeah.
They lost in round one and two.
Yeah.
I thought, just given how many outs they had against the Panthers, already missing Payne Haas, Reno, and then Lowe's Walsh straight away, the response from the Bronx really impressed me. I think three guys that needed to step up, Ezra, Cobbo, and Carrigan, all were the three best players on the field for the Broncos.
There was certainly a bit of panic like the second while she went out.
For sure.
But the second half was really strong.
We should have never put Brendan Piacura into the centres. But in that situation, you don't think that.
Sometimes you
just got to do it. So they fix it in the second half. But I'm with the Bronx, obviously.
You lost that second half 12-10.
Yep.
Yeah.
You got almost no key attacking players. Yep. You're still able to come up with two tries after all the defence that you did and against a Penrith side who never takes their foot off the throat. So I think that'll be a bloody close game, either team.
Always is a close game, yeah.
Bronx are $1.95, so it's pretty even. Tommy Dearden has the second most tries this year with three. He's $3.60 to score. and Dean Mariner is the favourite. He's got four on the year as well at $2.05. I'm going to the Titans. Finns.
Yeah.
I cannot talk today.
Cut what do you that, mean? Rich.
That's, cut that.
That's normal. Every single day you can't talk.
He's rattled.
Whose Bucks party was it?
Yeah, exactly. Oscar, is the Dolphins 13 plus at $3.30 the bet of the round this week against the Titans?
Respectfully, no. I don't think so. I think the Finns will win. I like them 1-12. The Titans have been horrible. They've had a bye in the middle of two poor games. I think they're still working their way.
They've lost Tino Fasulmalaui for the year as well.
They've lost Tino, which is enormous. They get Jaden Campbell back. Fifita's on the extended bench. I think he's going to come in and shore up that left edge. So the Titans' left edge, Beaufemore, Kieran Foran and Brian Kelly. So the back row are the 5'8 and the centre.
Yep.
Five games between them this year. Foran missed a couple. 25 missed tackles between them. So that's the edge where Fifita usually defends.
But I don't even like that they name Fifita in the extra reserves. Like, if he's going to play, just play him. Yeah. I don't like these games.
They're trying to rush.
I think they might be rushing him. Yep.
Yeah. Look, I don't know. It's a bizarre start to the year for the Titans. I don't think they'll be this shit for this long. Finn's up this weekend, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe not 13 plus, though.
And then I probably have to talk about two New South Wales sides. Sharks Raiders. The Raiders are third on the
list. Did you
not do geography?
Yeah, where are the Raiders from? Mate.
No. Year 10 was the hardest 3 years of my life.
Sounds like Corey Norman when he goes to us. We're on the bus in Melbourne. He goes, oh, where are we? Victoria? Some of your best work, Ibis.
It's Queensland only for me. Look, let's talk Sharks v Raiders on Sunday. The Milk are third on the ladder at the moment. Mm-hmm. But a massive underdogs against the Sharks, and the Sharks got pumped by the West Tigers on the weekend.
Yep.
Is the play on the Milk at 2.35 where you're leaning, this one?
You found it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always drink full cream milk on Sundays. Always said that. Big outs for Cronulla. I think they're missing pretty much everyone in their starting pack. KL Iro gets his NRL debut. Very excited, highly touted youngster in the outside backs, which means Talakai goes to the edge. Yeah, I'm really surprised the Raiders are paying as much as they are. They're just a gritty, grindy team, as they have been. You know, that's their DNA under Ricky Stewart, but they've got some repeatable actions in attack right now. Ethan Strange doing some very good things on their left edge. Yeah, I like Canberra in that one.
Love watching Savage this year as well. Yep. He's been very, very strong.
Really good.
Horsburgh's back too, isn't he?
He's in the Reggies. Oh, okay, he might not play.
Yep. Can't get his way back in. Morgan Smithies is doing a good job. So.
And then, wrapping up, have you got any try scorers for me this week?
The crash play. Yeah, I've picked out a couple. Pained me to admit it, but Blake Wilson paying $2.35 for the Bulldogs on the right wing. I think that's really good value. Gerard, your opinion on Blake Wilson?
Yeah, he can score a meaty.
Yeah.
I don't mind him at all. And you know what? When someone is playing for the Bulldogs right now at the moment, hard to sort of break through and be shown in the in the big lights and everything. But he's a player to watch. Love the way he moves, love the way he carries the ball, and loves the way he finishes. So
gets through a lot of work.
Does get through a lot of work. So it's not a bad bet.
Yeah, I think looking at our South's left edge, Jack Whiten still learning what it means to the defender in the centres. I think that Bulldogs right edge looks good this week. And then I'm splitting a half stake on Manly's left edge, Raymond Viega and Toletau Kula going up against, I'm completely mental blanking here. Someone help me.
Radio silence.
I'm back.
We're back.
I'm back. The Dragons, of course. Yeah.
I was tipping my tongue.
I thought you meant players. I was like.
No, yeah. I think the Manly's left edge has been looking very good, and the Dragons' right edge defensively Jack's just getting found out for speed, and Luke Brooks and Tolutau Kula are oozing speed at the moment. See, I like those guys both to score.
I had some good money on Kula to score on the weekend, personally.
Stubby Kula?
My gosh. Got caught back.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. Hurt me a lot.
Rip. All right. Well, all of Oscar's bets can be found in Ned's open groups. Excellent edition of The Offload, boys. When we come back, we're going to get into Giral's latest story.
Strap yourself in. It's story time with Giral.
Giral, last week we all donned the balaclava with you as you reminisced on your break and enter on Andrew McCullough and his unsuspecting dog, Daisy.
Yep.
What have you dug up from the archives this week?
I haven't spoken to Macca, no.
You didn't get any
feedback
from that story?
He might have given up listening to us, yeah. I would say.
I don't blame him.
I would say. But, sometimes you've got to go high in your stories and come a bit low. This one's not as low. This one's just a really funny story that someone reminded me what I used to do when I was sort of coming through grades. It's actually a pretty funny story. In the light of, of the house crisis here in Queensland, well, pretty much all over the world, I remembered I used to do this. And to all the kings out there, this might be a good thing to do for a date with a girl. So when I started playing grade, obviously my name started getting a little bit bigger. Now, I bought a house at a very young age, so I had property. But what I would used to do with a friend of mine is I'd find all the richest houses that were putting on open houses, and they would. I would dress up really nicely. This is when I was playing for the Bronx. I'd dress up really nicely, and I'd go to these open houses, purely because they would put on the best feeds, man. They would put on like these mad raps, like all this champagne. So after I'd, been in the office at Suncorp Stadium on a Friday night, Saturday morning I'd wake up and I'd go house shopping, but not really buy any houses. But while I was there, obviously people knew my name, so they thought I had the money to buy the houses. So I was going through I'm talking at Hamilton, top of the, top houses that were worth $2 million at the time. And I was me and my mate were just walking through.
Party pies.
Eating caviar and sipping on champagne. It was also when I was single, so thought it was a great time to meet rich young women.
Yeah, that's the fellow.
Stay savage, boys. I'm just saying, if you're going to take a girl on a date, realestate.com on the weekend. Go check out the finest houses and ask them what the prices are and say that you're thinking about purchasing.
Wow, okay. Yeah, anyone here looking for a house?
I am now.
You want to go on the weekend?
Very good draw. We're going to come back with Foggs' Fast Five.
Who decided to give him his own segments? It's time for Foggs' Fast Five.
It's time to pick up the pace with another edition of Foggs' Fast Five. Last week, it was all about the likes of Toby Sexton and Campbell Graham, who Liam described as the strangest units in the NRL. What do we got this week, Foggs?
Well, it is Easter this weekend.
Oh, yes! Favourite egg?
So it's a themed, the Easter bunny.
Sorry, I'm just really excited.
It's all right.
My son
You're doing a big Easter?
Yeah. Well, for two kids.
You got to go all
now
out.
Now it's just everything is about chocolate.
Yeah.
Rub it on my body.
That's pretty sick.
I'm a beautiful chocolate man.
So
that silence.
I don't know where to go from there. The Easter Bunny's rolling in this weekend. Obviously at Giral's place. Yeah. So I thought we'd have a bit of a bunny themed Fast Five. We're going to talk about the Rabbitohs.
Yes, yeah. Let's go.
The Rabbitohs are 0-3. Winless.
Great. Just like my Supercoach team.
A little bit like an egg. Shape of an egg.
The lowest they've ever been on the ladder in NRL history. They're 17th. They've never been there before.
Oh, very well done.
Nice.
Ouch.
And the last time they started the year like this was back in 2008. Well, and they lost 10 of their first 11 games.
Holy hell.
In 2008. Do you remember that?
Those were dark days.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I didn't know much about rugby league back then. So.
Bit like chocolate. Oh,
duh. Oscar's having a bit. Arm flashbacks over here.
They didn't win the spoon that year, though, so don't stress too much. But I thought we'd step back into the time machine, boys, and I'd remind you what life was like back in 2008 when the Bunnies were this shit.
Oh, here we go.
So,
were you alive then?
Yeah, it was 2008 was grade seven for me.
Grade seven,
the peak of my rugby league career. Just quietly.
Funny thing is, I was actually trying to look for houses in 2008.
Yeah, well, I was tall, but no one had hit puberty yet, so I could actually play second row without getting folded. So that was
back when you were a Melbourne Storm fan.
Yeah, well, yeah. Speaking of, 2008 was one of the Storm's naughty years. They technically finished as the minor prems, but there's a big fat asterisk next to that. And they were pumped 40-0 in the grand final by Manly. Last time the Bunnies were on the bottom of the ladder, you'd probably be hearing Low by Flo Rida.
Yes.
A fair bit. Number one song at the time. You were probably rocking a little Nokia handheld back then.
6310?
3315.
Prepaid. Ooh, bit of credit.
Oh, love me some cream.
1-800-REVERSE used to call. Yep.
Pick me up, Mum.
Yeah. But then
we didn't have a car, so I'm not aware I said that.
2008, the company that made iPods announced a phone. And that kind of picked up,
ooh,
I think.
Yeah.
Haven't heard
back
about
then.
That.
Yeah. Might have caught on. 2008 was a great year for movies. We had Iron Man, The Dark Knight, Kung Fu Panda, Tropic Thunder, and a little indie film drill, you might have heard of it, called Step Brothers.
Oh.
We were talking about it.
You guys are pre-planned.
That's a great list.
That's a great list.
Pretty good year for movies. Pretty shit year for the Bunnies.
Rather than not getting my face, I'll drop that.
And then, look, it was probably the perfect time to invest your life savings into the stock market. You know, it was a place where the prices only ever went up and nothing went down. Great time to invest in the stock market. There was no crash in 2008 or anything. Yeah.
Only from the rabbits.
So, yeah, literally. So, there you go, boys.
Happy Easter.
Little walk. Yeah, go the Bunnies.
Thanks, Oscar's folks. Really up and about now. Look at
that. That was good. Yeah, I'm hopping.
He's stoked. Speaking of hopping, let's hop into the multi. So, last week, JYY, you kicked us off with a win. You had the Wars head-to-head versus the Raiders. Fogg's things took a bit of a turn. Who did you take?
I can't even remember. No, I took the Sharks to cover, and they got smashed by Benji and the boys.
Yeah, the Tigers.
Wow. Tigers.
Not good.
No good. Oscar, you took Manly head-to-head versus Parramatta.
Choked it.
Bit stiff there. And I had the Knights head-to-head in the final game against the Storm. Look, the records, not great. Oscar, you're 2-2 now.
Yep.
Same for you, JYY. Same for me. Fogs, you got a lift, mate. 1-3.
Isn't this your job?
Really?
Isn't this your job?
Oh, man. Yeah. And I've gone conservative like pretty much all year. And
that's
it's not who you are.
If we're going to talk about conservative, you're not a conservative person.
Yeah, we got to play to our strengths here, mate.
Right. Come on, bros.
So do you want me to start this week then?
Well, I'm starting this week, so I've gone.
You don't have a choice.
No.
This is your last
chance. I'm
going
to do as I'm told,
I've actually gone the Rabbitohs just head-to-head against the Dogs on Good Friday, despite we've shit all over them for the whole show. But look, backs against the wall. Cookies back in the side, as we said. They won this game 50-16.
It is Easter.
Year.
You know, got to back the Bunnies.
That's it, exactly. JYY, you're up next.
Yeah, what did I? Oh, yeah, I know what I did, actually. I've gone the Ponies. I've totally forgot for a second because we're too busy pizzling the Rabbits. I've gone the Ponies head-to-head. $1.95, the Bronx, at home. The little General's back, Adam Reynolds. And we welcome back our big, long, dumb friend, Oatsy, back into the side as well. Brains.
Big, long, and dumb.
He's actually very smart, but just not street smart. Book smart, but not street. And no one would think that. But he's back in the side, number 17. So
where's he going to play?
I don't care. I love that he's in the side. You know what? And you know what? He'd been blowing up that he would have had to play at Burley. And it's making me laugh so much. Just because I know how much he whinges.
On the
traffic. And whinges.
Yeah.
He's gone all the way. He's lived out at Sanford, so he's got to go away to Burley.
Yeah, that's worse. That's
but anyway,
painful,
he's back. Number 17 jersey.
Is that, I know you've got a lot of injuries, but is that Kevy responding to round one and round three, he's had to put an edge forward in the outside backs?
Yeah, maybe.
Or is Corey just the next man up in your
deck? Oh, yeah. Well, he has been the next man up. He's been the 18th man.
Yeah. But like Marty's been dropped.
Yeah.
Takura's not still in the reserve. So like they've got big bodies there who they could have picked before Oatsy as a forward in the forward rotation. Is he there as backs cover?
Oh, look, I'm just happy that he's back in the side.
Yeah, me too.
I'm just happy back in the side. And it showed last week that Reece going down earlier, we didn't know where we went. So if you carry a big boy that can play in this, you know, the back row and on the wing, it's going to help us. So I've gone $1.95 head-to-head the Bronx at home at Suncorp Stadium.
Like it.
Friday night footy.
Oscar, you've gone a bit exotic this week with your leg.
Yeah, I think we talked about, I think Finn's 1-12 I liked more than 13 plus. But yeah, I'm also, I'm just kind of waiting for, I'm prepared to give the Titans another week and see if they respond. So I've taken Finns or Titans, either team by 12.5 or less.
Nice.
Hard to argue with that one. Foggs, you're bringing us home at Shark Park.
Yeah, well, I haven't gone conservative this week. What could possibly go wrong? Look, we talked about the Raiders might maybe being the pick and the value, yep. So I'm taking the milk head-to-head at 235.
Very nice. I've gone the Rabbitohs head-to-head on Good Friday. Gerard, you've got the Broncos head-to-head against the Cows not long after. Oscar, you've gone either team by less than 12.5, Titans, Finns. Yep. Foggs, you're with the Raiders. Altogether, we're getting $11.39 Ooh, nice. For that one.
Nice.
Do you want me to say it?
Say the line, Gerard.
I'm getting on it, boy. Oh,
yeah! How good. You can find that on the Neds app under the NRL specials section. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show.
You're listening to Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions.
We're just about to wrap up here on Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions. What are we thinking to name the episode this week, lads? Something Easter related, yeah, mate?
Easter related. It's got to be Easter related.
Hop Bunnies. To it?
Hop to it. Let's go.
Hop to it?
Yeah.
That'll do.
That'll do us. That'll do us, yeah.
Oscar, what are we looking forward to this coming weekend?
He's nothing. He's a Rabbitohs. He's watching the Rabbitohs.
The Easter egg hunt. On Sunday.
At Gerald's house?
Yes.
You don't live far from me, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, you don't want to see me after Saturday night. It's usually my big night, so I'll just stay home. Actually, I do have something to say, a confession.
Confession.
After we drew from my footy team on the weekend, 12-all, I dragged all the boys down to the FG Tavern and...
great spot.
Karaoke'd on Saturday night. You?
What's your go-to?
Yeah, what is it?
I can't remember what I sang, but there's footage out there. So if you ever find it, I'm sorry to everyone, but the boys found, they put it on our WhatsApp group. Jesus Christ. You think you sound great at the time.
Don't you?
Right? You think you sound great at the time. But thanks to Kathy's karaoke down there, the FG Tav. I think we'll be having shares by the end of the year in that place.
Friends of the show.
Yeah, friends of the show. Which mate, we should, that's what we should do. We should do karaoke.
Please.
Yeah.
Once live.
Live. Yeah. From the pot.
Rich, you're coming.
Yeah, you can video us.
Folks, what's your go-to? Weird,
my go-to, I pump Creed. But I've been on the Creed train before it got picked up this year.
You knew them before they were cool.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Very good. Thank you for listening, guys. Thank you, Oscar. Thank you, JYY. Thank you, Foggs. We'll be back next week to recap round 4.
Thanks for listening to Ned's NRL Unpopular Opinions. Enjoyed the podcast? Remember to like, subscribe, and rate the show wherever you get your podcasts.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.